In this episode, I'm chatting with Eva from Hungary, and she shares about being a perfectionist and about getting a lot of self-worth and sense of achievement from being productive and how that affects her life. We also talk about work-life balance and how she's trying to manage her business alongside of building meaningful relationships. I hope you enjoy it.
The first thing is the work-life balance. Because I know how to work hard, right? Like I know how to get up very early and study hard and focus, tunnel vision, like not have a social life and just be at home and read books and or after that I was teaching and I was taking teaching privately and taking too many clients and not having any boundaries because that's what I was taught, like just to be very hardworking and then your life will be good. And then I felt good sometimes briefly because of course I'm helping others. So I see it in real time that I'm making their life better. But my life was just to sleep 6 hours per night. And my best friends were my clients. Like I didn't have time for friends. Like I remember one time I called one of my best friends from high school that I kept in touch with. And I literally said to her, I have 10 minutes for this call because my online lesson starts in 10 minutes. And she thought that it's about 10 minutes, but I told her that it's exactly 10 minutes. But after 11 minutes, I told her that, okay, I'm already late, so bye. And she was shocked that, it was actually 10 minutes. Or there was one time when I called in that period of time, when I called my grandma on her birthday. And I had to find it in my schedule when to call her. And I had literally 5 minutes to chat with her. So this, I think that this pattern started in maybe elementary school, but for sure high school, that in the summer here in Hungary, we have 2.5 months of no school, vacation. And most people go on holidays and stuff. And we went for holiday for 1 week or something. And for at least 1 month of all high school summers, I was taking English or German intensive course. And an intensive course means that you have 100 hours of classes with the teacher, and then they give you homework to do at home. So basically the day is, I wake up, I have breakfast, I go to class, then from 8 a.m., you have to be there at 8, so from 8 a.m. to 12, you have classes with the group, with the teacher, and then I went home, had lunch, did the homework until 8 p.m., and then maybe watching one episode of a series with my mom because that's our bonding thing. And that's it, and sleeping. And on the weekend there were no classes in the intensive course, but they they gave you enough homework that it was enough for the whole weekend.
Mm.
So I didn't, I remember one specific time that everybody went, like there is one big lake, we don't have beaches, but there is one big lake in Hungary, and on that weekend it was so hot that everybody went there from the from my classmates on this intensive course, all the other 13 people. And I was the only one who actually did all of the homework. And I stayed at home, and I was like, and I was faced with this information on Monday, and I was like, oh, you went to the lake, but then how did you manage to finish all the
And then suddenly your summer was gone, and you barely had any time to relax.
I mean, this was just 1 month out of the 2.5. Most of the time I was just bored. Like I wanted to feel useful, or that I did something with my time.
Yeah.
When I became self-employed, this was the problem, that I took too many students. And even when I didn't have a lot of students, then I just made like very personalized learning materials for, I still do it, but at that time I was like spending 3 days on one PPT to teach just one material. Now I don't spend 3 days. But so my problem is that I know how to work hard and how to focus on that, but I don't know how to have a work-life balance, because after I was working too much, like I was going to university for master's, plus I had 13 students. And so on. So that was the period in time that I was talking about, with the grandma call and the best friend call, and I had to schedule like when I put the laundry into the washing machine. So everything was scheduled, and at that time I couldn't switch my brain off. So if I went to the cinema with my boyfriend, during the trailers or whatever, I was still thinking like, okay, how to make that student learn that thing better? Like, which kind of homework to make for them? So there was no work-life balance. And after that, I went on kind of like a sabbatical. I mean, like, I was not traveling, but I was not working at all for 2 years or something like this. 1.5 years, maybe. And now I'm in this low-key working, like soft launch, or I don't know. I don't have a lot of students, so I'm not focused on it too much. It's like the other extreme. Like, I'm not focused on it at all, and I don't know. Like, I feel like there is a switch. Like now I'm not motivated too much to get new clients. So that's why I can manage my life. I mean, like, my friends and like making new friends, going to social events, and like to have a life outside of dating, to have a life outside of being productive, or not feeling pressure to be always productive or something. But my question to myself is that I cannot answer in more than 1 year that I have been doing this, is that how will I be able to feel that I have a purpose and that I'm doing something about it, like I'm productive and I'm motivated or like I'm working, but still not neglecting everything else. Like, how will I not fall back into that pattern? Because that's my pattern, right? Mm-hmm. To feel that I want to feel useful and productive and help people.
Yeah.
How will I not fall into that extreme again, that I go to the cinema and I cannot focus because I'm thinking about students?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that. So that's my fear, that, oh, I don't want to fall back into that, so that's why I'm not focusing on work, because, oh, what if I go back to that and I never come out again? Like, mm-hmm. that's my fear, that, okay, this sabbatical was the only break in my life,
yeah.
because I cannot manage the work life. Like, how? Because it's much easier to focus on one thing. Like, if my goal is to make new friends, because I had no friends in this city, so I had to make new friends. So if that was my goal, okay, I made some friends. But if I have two goals, that's much harder for me to balance. Like, how mm-hmm. to feel truly motivated, not just like, okay, I do something on one front and still be able to shut it off.
Mm.
Because if I truly want to focus on work or studying or something, then I know that all the other time could be used to be better at that. So it's like kind of like a waste.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the problem.
Yeah.
Like, how will I balance it? Because I have never done it before, so I know that I'm not good at it.
What are you teaching, by the way?
English and German.
English and German, yeah. And how would you say, like, how do you feel about the life you had a few years ago when it was all business focused? And how do you feel about your life now when it's more social focused?
I mean, now looking back, I mm-hmm. feel good. Like, I feel proud, or like, oh, at least I was doing something. Like, because now I also most of the time don't feel good. So at least at that time, I was helpful for others.
Mm-hmm.
Because the premise was that, oh, I feel bad because... I was feeling bad at that time because I don't sleep enough and I don't have enough time to cook healthy food or something. Like, I was eating this out of the can things or something. So, and I went to a psychologist at that time
mm-hmm.
for 2 years. And one of the things that he kind of suggested, like, he cannot say anything, like, he cannot give you advice, but one of the things that he kind of tried to say is to incorporate some hobbies or like some stuff that I like, or sleep more, or something, keep boundaries, but I guess I overdid it, kind of.
Mm. What do you mean you overdid it?
I mean, like, I cut out most of the people from my life, mm-hmm. and then I felt very lonely. So the thing is that when you are self-employed, you don't have a boss. So you have to, like, the way I always explain it, like, my boss is in my head. So Mm-hmm. Like I can work at night. I mean, like, okay, to have classes, of course, I can have them when I can be with that student. So I have to negotiate the times with them. But for the other stuff, like the creating the learning materials and the personalized homeworks and correcting them and everything, I can do it at 3 a.m. So I can do it indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can always perfect it a little, make it a little bit better.
Yeah.
Like I'm a perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
So looking back to that time, I am proud and I feel good about it because now I don't have that. And if I feel bad either way, like if I'm killing myself with working too much or not, then why not do that? Because then at least I can feel useful and people get something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because now a lot of the time I'm just scrolling on YouTube or like wasting time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think indeed, like some people would say, you know, like find something you enjoy doing, and usually people enjoy doing something that they're good at. And that sounds like you're, you know, really good at teaching. So it gives a sense of proud and achievement and joy to spend a lot of time on that, which is great. But then as you found out, if you spent all your time on that, then there are other parts in life that that suffer then.
Yeah.
Mm. Because I'm curious, like, as you mentioned, in the childhood and during the summers, like, do you think it was like due to your family or was like something your own internal monologue why you kind of felt the pressure to be productive and to achieve while your classmates felt like it was okay to just have a break?
They didn't. I don't think they told me overtly to go to that intensive course, but in general, they pressured me in school to always get A's.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I got a B, then it was like they mocked me, or there were some comments about it, or my father teased me, or my mother was upset. But if I got a C, that was like no, like
mm-hmm.
no go zone, or I don't know, like it's not acceptable to get a C or lower
mm-hmm.
grade. The thing is, like, my mother didn't have the opportunity to go to university, so it was always expected that I will go. Like, and to get a scholarship, you need, like, if you are not rich, you need a scholarship. If you need a scholarship, mm-hmm. you need to learn very hard. So that's the chain that my mom said that she, like her teacher said, that she got the brains for it, but her parents said that they don't have the money to go to university. I mean, like, mm-hmm. even if she gets the scholarship, you need to get a room and food and stuff, and that they couldn't pay for that. I think that that it's maybe partly true, but I think that it was more about the fact that at that time it was not so important, or like it was more mm-hmm. unusual for women to go to university, because my mother was 41 when I was born, so she lived in another era
mm-hmm.
when it was not so important. Like at that time in Hungary, women got married in their early 20s or something, and like they were working, but I think you get what I mean.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. Mm. Yeah, so I mean, in my case, it's a little bit different, but similar, as that my mom, I think, is quite smart, and she always wanted to go to university, but yeah, didn't really have the finances at home indeed. So I can recognize kind of that pressure of like, hey, I didn't make it, so now you need to do it kind of, you know, for the family. I'm curious, like, in your, when you had your sabbatical, did you feel like you know, did you find things that really brought you joy? Or was there always in the back of your mind, like, oh, maybe I should be working now, maybe I should be productive?
Okay, so what I call a sabbatical is just that I was not working for an extended period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not actually a sabbatical at that time. Like, so the thing was that there was a new law in Hungary that you cannot be paying those low taxes that I was paying and go to university at the same time.
Mm.
So if I wanted to finish my master's, I needed to choose. And for two semesters, I went on passive. But then but after two, you have to go back. Like, you have to choose, like, you go back or you never finish. And then I thought that, okay, I will go back. So I let my clients go because they also didn't have any very big goals at that time. So I was not letting them down too much.
Yeah.
But I didn't finish the university finally. So I was going back, but I didn't have a lot of classes and I didn't finish it. And so I was not thinking like, oh, I'm going on a sabbatical. I was thinking that, okay, I go back to university for. But technically I was not doing much because I didn't have many classes.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that at the same time I was going through a breakup. So I broke up with my first boyfriend ever after 7 years. So it was a big thing because we were living together and everything. And because I moved from a small town to Budapest during COVID, basically I didn't have any friends here, so I was all on my own. And of course, I felt down because after 7 years, you are so connected that, of course, I didn't feel well for a very long time. So it was not so much of a, like, I only use the word sabbatical so that people can a little bit understand it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But it was more of like, oh, I'm so depressed that all I can do is just survive the days and like be in my bed, lay in my bed and not do anything and just trying to take my mind off of this thing by watching videos or like podcasts.
Yeah.
And I was cooking once a week and like eating the same food for 1 week because I didn't have more energy to like cook or anything. And I was isolated, so partly because before that it was COVID, so I couldn't make friends and I was in a new city, partly because it was already after I have gone to the psychologist, so I cut off a lot of the previous friends previous even family members and everything previously.
Mm-hmm.
And and the third reason was that that first relationship was very toxic, or like he tried to control me and manipulate me into not meeting people.
Mm.
So he tried to isolate me, because of course from the masters I met people, but so whenever I, even in this scheduled, like I didn't have much free time, but in that scheduled way sometimes I tried to meet them, but it was not, like he didn't say like don't go, but he always made some circumstance or something so that it's very hard for me to go.
Yeah.
Like he wanted me always to be at home because he was very jealous.
But then
So after that, after the breakup, I didn't have energy for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then after some time, and I was, my goal was at that time to lose weight, and I could do that. That was hard, but I could do it. And after some time, I felt that, okay, now I feel well enough to work again.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, nobody was reaching out to me. Like I was reaching out to some of my previous clients, but they didn't want to come. And I told everyone, with like I had new friends, so I told everyone that I'm looking for clients. I made some posts, I think, on Facebook, but I didn't do like a big campaign or big search like in the old days when I was really on to finding clients. And then like nobody found me. So then I was just, so that was in a fall, and then the next summer, two people found me at the same time, and then I was like, okay, then I will restart.
Hmm. But if I understand correctly, you did kind of like, so as you mentioned, you know, you were kind of in a dark period where you felt depressed, you had to break up. Well, also maybe the good part that, you know, no longer were in a toxic relationship.
Yeah.
But then it did sound like you kind of found a way out of that and build a community in Budapest and, yeah, made friends and had a more enjoyable social life.
I made friends, but I don't feel satisfied with the friends that I made. I mean, like, you know, it's not like I'm trying to go to events that foster deeper connections on purpose. Like I'm trying to find people who are into self-development, self-improvement, self-awareness, and who want to form deeper friendships, not just to go for a drink or go for a coffee and talk about nothing and just be superficial.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like it's not... It's a little bit deeper, like, okay, we don't just talk about the weather, but I still feel that it's not that deep that would satisfy me, or like, because of course we don't know each other from childhood and they have other friends and they have their family. So I don't have that. So for me, it's a much more greater desire and need because I don't have my family because of what I said, because of the psychologist said that, okay, it's not not a good influence on me. Or, like when I talk to them, they criticize me and so on and so on, and then verbally abuse me or something. And then for several days, I feel very bad. So there is no point in, like, even if I call them once per week, it takes a toll on my mental health. So.
Because at first I thought when you mentioned the psychologist and the boundaries, I thought it was maybe more because you're so focused on work. But if I understand correctly, it's more about that you feel like the people around you had a negative effect on you, and there you had to put up boundaries.
The relationship, like that the relationship is toxic, that my family is also, and that I'm not sleeping enough and so on and so on. So it's all of this, like boundaries in all of the realms.
And are there like relationships you cut off where you now look back and that you're like, oh, maybe I want to reach out again, or maybe you want to rebuild relationships? Or do you look back and think, oh, it's good that I don't have contact with those people anymore?
The problem is that if you don't have contact with someone for years, or for an extended period of time, then you remember the good stuff and you idealize. So yeah, sometimes I'm thinking about it to reach out to certain family members recently. Like for a long time, I haven't thought about it, but now it's like I miss some of them, and some of my old friends, I tried to reach out, but they are not getting back to me. Or, yeah.
Are you an only child, or do you have any siblings?
I have 2 half sisters and 2 half brothers.
Are you in contact with them, or?
No. Not anymore.
And do you also feel like it's that they criticize you, or that's not good to communicate with them?
I mean, one of my half sisters, like I was in a very good relationship with her, particularly, like she was like my second mom because she is 20 years older than me. But since she had a child of her own, she was much like the contact was much less. And also she lives abroad. So, you know, like when you have a family abroad, that takes up your time, kind of. And also the problem with her is that she tells everything to my mom. So that's one thing. And the other thing is that, of course, when you see a pattern, you repeat it. So her husband is also verbally abusive. And so the last time, and it reduces her capacity for empathy. Like she has empathy, but since she spends too much time with him. So what I told my mom, because I don't talk to my sister now, what I told my mom is that if she makes the definite decision to leave the husband, then I am willing to reconnect, or like then I want to talk to her again regularly.
Yeah, sounds like a complicated family dynamic, to say the least.
Yeah, and the other thing that I wanted to talk about is that my 30th birthday is coming up, and it seems like a big milestone. And I used to be excited about birthdays, like, oh, I get to see my friends. And now I feel stressed because, you know, as I said, in these times when I was not feeling well, the thing was, like, I didn't want to always look for another video and another video because that's already doing something. So, or then I there will be a gap between two videos that I find interesting. So that's how bad I felt, that I couldn't have like a 2 minute gap until I find another video, because I take a long time to choose because I'm a perfectionist. So, so that, I don't know, somehow I found these very long podcasts about dating. and I remember that in the beginning I was not, I didn't agree with them, what they were saying. But, you know, the more you listen to it, like if you have one kind of input, then you will believe it. So I listened to this opinion for about 2 years. So, of course, now I believe it, that, oh my God, I'm getting 30. So if, like, as a woman to get to 30, it's like your life is over. And like, if I haven't found a good partner until now, then I will not find it. Like, there is a lower chance, or like it will be harder. I will have to put in much more effort to find it now, because age is very important. And so this is the stress. So I'm going on like one or two dates per day, because I'm like, okay, this is the last time I can find someone.
Per day, you said?
Yes.
That sounds like a lot. It's almost
I'm going on two dates today.
But you also, you have them scheduled like one after the other, or
sometimes.
Yeah. Yes. You're like, hey, it was nice chatting with you. I need to go. The next guy is waiting. And how is that, how is it going for you so far?
I mean, even in these like since the breakup, I have been on a lot of dates, but it was like on and off, like sometimes a lot, like now, like one or two per day, and sometimes, oh, I don't want to date, and then 3-4 months nothing. So I had one relationship since then, but I broke up after about 8 months, like 6 to 8. But it was not from the dating. It was from the socializing, like one of the events, which is funny because it was one of my principles that I don't want to date anyone from the events, because then, you know, it's awkward afterwards. And like it breaks up the friend group, and that's what happened. So, yeah, I should have.
Yeah, that's a tricky part indeed. You never know indeed. It could be make it super awkward, or you could meet a great guy that way. It's difficult to say.
Yeah. So anyway, so yeah, sometimes I feel like now, like in the past 2 years, okay, the first goal was to lose the weight and get a good, like healthy diet. That happened. I started hiking regularly. That's also good. And I have been keeping it up. And I meet friends and going to the events and having these deep discussions and everything. So I achieved some things in terms of that. But sometimes I feel like dating is like the way I do it is like a full-time job. Because, you know, like if you are chatting with so many people, like to respond and then like schedule the whole thing so that it doesn't clash with all of the other people that you want to meet. And then to get ready, because of course for a woman, it's not just, oh, you have a shower and you go out. No, like you have to get ready, like, okay, which dress and then like makeup and everything, even though I'm not spending like a lot of time on makeup, like I'm just doing a light one, but still like every time it's a lot. And so I just feel like it's a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. And so maybe the bad thing about dating this way is that I cannot focus on one person. So sometimes so for example, now there is one guy that maybe I should date him exclusively. Like he mentioned it, that he will delete the dating app. Mm-hmm. But it's like on its own, he's not enough. Like he's not texting much. Like when we meet, it's good, but then he doesn't like call me and stuff. Mm. Like if I only have him, then I need to communicate more.
Mm. And did you mention that to him, that maybe you would appreciate a call every now and then?
I haven't mentioned it yet. But I'm thinking like how to communicate it. Like, should I just should I say it directly or just by behavior or something? Like, I'm thinking how to do it.
Well, just speaking as a guy, I think we don't always pick up on clues. So maybe good if you're just with him to say like, hey, I love spending time with you, but I also appreciate it if you maybe let something know when we're not together.
Yeah, I don't know. Because the thing is that in the past it has happened that I asked a guy to do something, but then they do it for some time because I asked, mm-hmm. but because it's not in their nature or, you know, it's not their need or something, then mm-hmm. they will stop doing it after some time. And that's much worse for me. Like if we meet a few times and I never see them again, mm-hmm. that's fine because I'm not attached. But if I get exclusive with him and then after 3 months he stops calling because he never liked it in the first place, that's that's much more hurtful.
Yeah, I guess it depends on you know what's really important to you in a relationship. And
I mean, I want to find my person, like it was always my goal to find my last person that I can spend the rest of my life with. Like I don't like I just want, like if my person would have been the first person in my life, that's the perfect scenario. Like I never wanted to like leave or whatever experience stuff. Like I just wanted to find my life partner.
Yeah. Yeah, but then I guess the question is like, is it enough if you love to be with someone in person, maybe also in the back of your mind that eventually you could live together? Or is it also really important that they can communicate via texting or via calling or things like that?
But even if we live together, we need to text because sometimes he's not there, right? So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I'm like if I'm with the person, then I'm with that person. Like that he is the most important person for me. So you could say I'm codependent. And also I grew about the like one person for life. I grew up in a Catholic household. Like, so I don't know if it's my genuine desire or, but this is how my mind works. Like I cannot be with someone and not think that it's enough for me, or like we can be together forever. Like, what's the point in getting together if I don't believe that we will be together? Like, if I believe that, okay, we will be together for a few months, then it, in my mind, it's kind of like a time waste, because it will end up me in tears and...
Yeah. No, I think that definitely makes sense. It just... Yeah, also, I guess sounds like quite some pressure or difficult to indeed in one or two dates kind of scan, like, hey, this is the one for the rest of my life.
No, I mean, like, I just need to know, like, it's not very new. And then I can know more and more in more dates. Like, I kind of, you know, like, with experience, you develop some techniques. So now I have some questions. So if it's very new, I can know it in 20 minutes because I have the questions.
Yeah, no, yeah, I guess it's good indeed. You have clarity on what you want, right? And as you mentioned, you don't need to be dating someone for 2 years if you can figure out in 1 hour if you're aligned on the life you want to build together.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, like, because yeah, as you mentioned, you're a perfectionist, and it sounds like, you know, in the past you maybe had to work, and now it seems like the dating is the focus. Do you ever just like kind of like count back for yourself, like, oh, this is the life that I think I would enjoy, and then I would need to, you know, I can have so many hours for work, so many hours for social life or hobbies or things like that?
Yeah, I have like how many clients would be the most enjoyable, or like, yeah, so which days I want to work and how many classes per day, and yeah, I have that.
Yeah, because since you mentioned, you know, you used to have a super strict calendar. I don't know if you ever experienced it with maybe like a less strict calendar, sorry. But still having like very rough time blocks that you know for yourself, hey, in these hours I'm focused on work most of the time. And this time I allow myself to relax and achieve nothing. And in this time I, you know, try to socialize or meet up with a friend or...
So between that super strict calendar and not working, there was a time period when I had clients, but not so many. And because the ones who were not motivated, I let them go. And the ones who... And I didn't look for new ones. Like, I was not reaching out. Because usually I find them on Facebook. And in that period of time, I felt that I'm not productive. Like, once I tracked how many hours I worked at that time, and it was between 25 and 30 hours with everything. Like, if I count finding homeworks on YouTube and everything in it. That concerns teaching, and I felt like I'm unemployed, to be honest, because it was it was too easy. Like, I actually felt guilty for making like an average salary from home something that I enjoy and it doesn't take that much time. Like I felt guilty for making that money.
You felt guilty, maybe didn't have to suffer to to live a good life or have a good income.
Yeah, I have gotten into this, to the bottom of this several times, that somehow my one of my core beliefs is that I need to suffer or I deserve to suffer. And also it's like we keep talking about teaching, but it's not actually just teaching. So it's more like language coaching. So we talk about past experiences and traumas, and we talk about how to build confidence. So it's not just that I teach them grammar and vocabulary and stuff. That's part of it. But because I teach adults, mostly they are not airheads, right? So, I mean, like everything is on the internet. They could learn it alone, to be honest. But they have some kind of mental obstacle, or they have, in public schools, teachers tell them stuff like, oh, you will never be able to learn English, or you are so slow or something. So we have to work through that, basically. Or they have some life event, and that's why they cannot focus. Like, they just want to be listened to. Like, like one of my students' mom died. So it was almost like a grief counseling thing. One of my students had a miscarriage. So sometimes or they just want to vent about work for 15 minutes and then we can start the material.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, I can imagine that's very, very fulfilling then to, you know, not only help someone maybe with their confidence and with their language skills, but also, yeah, be there when someone's maybe struggling personally.
Yeah, so I'm thinking like, or how can I, what can I do about it? Like, I'm thinking like maybe long term, I should get a degree from psychology and go on to being a therapist, or I don't know, because I'm already doing it without having the tools. I mean, I have read a lot about it. I went to a lot of workshops. I took some courses at the university from psychology. Okay, I went to therapy for 2 years and so on, but I'm not a coach. I'm not a therapist, so. Yeah. With the grief thing, it was good that beforehand I also went to. Could you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
With the grief thing, it was good that I also went to loss specialist beforehand myself. So and that's a very set process, like how to do it. So I know how to do that, but. Sometimes I feel like I'm carrying all these people's lives on my back. Like when I'm cooking or I'm doing something else, like I'm thinking about it like, oh, I hope she will resolve her conflict with her boss or something.
Yeah, it's easy to kind of take those things with you. It can be tricky to kind of let that go. Because you're so involved in someone's personal life.
Yeah, and the one of the other tricky things is because. So in Hungary, it's not so easy to make money, and so I'm charging them like a kind of like a coach, not as a private teacher. which would be like 3 times less. And sometimes when I talk with my friends, they use me the same way. Like I feel like I'm in a session.
Mm-hmm.
And then in my head, I get so angry because in my head, I'm like, okay, I'm carrying your emotional weight now. And if this is a, if you know, like if I was working now, then I would make this amount of money out of this conversation.
Yeah.
And so, for example, I made one very good friend after the breakup, or like in this time when I was focusing on making new friends.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a situationship, and she was going through like it, like, oh, like, will it be something or no? Like it was always this maybe, or like, and I spent a lot of time with helping her, and sometimes she made me dinner, and then we stopped becoming friends.
Mm-hmm.
Because she said that because I didn't go to an event when I promised that I will go, but I think it was not the reason, but okay, so that's her version. My version is that I got into that 8 months long relationship and she couldn't take it, like, because she lived a single life, and so our life was very different at that point.
Mm.
So the main thing is that after we stopped becoming stopped the friendship, she said that, oh, like, you know, I was so generous with you because I made dinner sometimes. And I was so angry, and I'm still so angry about this because, you know, like, I helped her so much. Like, if I sent her that amount... that is not comparable to some dinners.
Mm.
And if I and I know that if I have found some clients at that time and I say to her that, oh, I'm busy, I have work, then she would respect me because, you know, like if I don't spend that time carrying her emotional weight.
Mm-hmm.
But I spend the time with others and then spend the money with her or something, she will respect me much more. Mm. So that's what angers me, because it, like, she tells me that, oh, I didn't do anything. But in my view, like, I was working so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's not easy for sure to make close friends. Like, it sounds like on both your part there was like kind of a transactional mindset, like, hey, what am I or like, what am I getting out of this relationship? I mean, I think in some sense you always have this, because, yeah, you know, someone gives attention and their time, and yeah, I think, you know, try to be there for each other. But yeah, maybe good to not count too exactly who owes what.
I mean, recently I came to the conclusion that you know, people sometimes get angry, like, oh, like, he only sees me as a pretty girl and only wants to use me for my body, or I don't know, like, I'm a teacher, like, oh, he only wants me to teach Hungarian or whatever.
Mm.
Like, if he, like, foreigners usually ask me, like, oh, can you teach Hungarian? And I'm usually say that I'm just a native speaker, like, I don't know anything about, like, how to learn Hungarian.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so the main thing is, Like people use you what they can use you for. Like if you and what you so what you let them to use you for and what you are capable of doing. Like if I'm a teacher, they will use like, and if I'm telling them about me that I'm a teacher, they will try to use me as a teacher because that's what I'm saying. Or usually, like I'm trying to find my responsibility in the thing. Like if I'm usually telling them, oh, yeah, I'm a good listener, I like deep conversations and stuff, then they will do that. Mm-hmm. Like they will dump the things on me. Yeah. Or if I say that, I like cooking, then they will try to make me cook. Like, and I think like, if you don't want anything to do with that person, you are not going there. So of course you want something, even if the thing is just the friendship, which is like talking or like doing activities together.
Mm-hmm.
Like people who don't want anything from you don't talk to you. So of course it means that you are giving some value in some way. And even if it's just that they don't feel lonely or anything. Like some people, like why do escorts exist? Because some people just like to go to the restaurant and look at the nice face. Like that's a value for them. Like I'm not talking about the prostitutes, like the real escorts who just escort people.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I guess I never thought about it in such a way. I mean, it sounds to me like a little bit of a cynical way to look at it, right? I understand that people use their time, their attention to choose to spend time with someone. But the way I kind of look at it is if you're close friends with someone, then it's possible that, you know, someone is going through a bad time, they have a breakup, they lose their job, and it can feel like the one person has to give and support. But without keeping score, like if you're really good friends, then one day, you know, when you need it, they you get that back in return, I think.
I mean, on a long enough time scale, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. But it puts, I guess, a lot of pressure on the relationship if it's, I did this thing one time, so now I'm keeping count until when I'm getting it back.
No, but it was like overwhelming, like several times per week. And, you know, like for six, I remember one specific time when for 6 hours, we were just trying to formulate a text for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were just... She was like, but do you think that this emoji is better than the other emoji? Or, uh-huh. So this like very detailed, you know, like,
yeah.
Or like, should it be an exclamation point or exclamation point and question mark or something like this?
Mm.
Or she called me like, oh, can you meet me outside in 10 minutes or something? So maybe it was my fault that I didn't put some boundaries, you know, like.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I guess there's some people that you know would think it's really fun to craft text messages and decide what to send. But yeah, I guess if you don't enjoy that, indeed, then it would be up to you to say like, hey, maybe we can do something else.
I mean, I could have with that, but. Until it has a point, like half an hour or something.
Yeah. Maybe just as the last question, you know, you mentioned you're turning 30 soon. So yeah, how do you look at the next, I guess, the next few years? Because on one hand, you know, you seem like a bit scared of growing older, but to me it also sounds like you have a lot of good things going for you in your life. So I'm curious how you look at the future.
I'm trying to decide what to do next, because I enjoy teaching with a passion, but I know that I cannot do this for all of my life, or like, I know that I have some good years in it still, but after that I want to do something else. So I don't know if this should be like studying psychology and then becoming a therapist or something, which would be the logical next step, or like something completely different. Because, for example, I was very interested in chemistry, and I just don't, like, most of my life I always had goals set, and now I just don't know. I'm just standing and like thinking like what to do next. And also to move abroad or not, because, you know, the war is next to us, so I'm a bit afraid of that. Like, I love living in Hungary, but just because of that, I'm a bit afraid sometimes, even though I don't read the news deliberately. So I don't know anything, but... So I'm thinking like, okay, if I move, where should I move? Like, where would I feel safe? And I'm trying to research that, like, where is the smallest chance, like, that there are no natural catastrophes, like the overall crime rate or like violence is very low, and where I could live with the languages, or like what language I should learn, or and there is no high chance of war or something. So I don't know yet.
I think the billionaires are building kind of like bunkers in New Zealand, right? So maybe that's that's the spot.
New Zealand was on my list. It's not so easy to get in.
Yeah, I'm from the Netherlands, so it's for if you stay away from the coast, it's not so many risk for natural disaster, but maybe the crime rate is still somewhat high.
I heard that the housing is hard to get in the Netherlands. I don't know.
Yeah, it's the last few years got very expensive, and it's difficult to find something good indeed.
How come your accent is so good if you are from the Netherlands? I thought that you are a native speaker.
I think probably Dutch people can hear I'm Dutch. There's always like kind of a small kind of underlying sound, I think. I don't know. I guess I grew up a lot with American movies. So I learned most of my English, that way.
You don't dub movies. In Hungary, we dub everything.
No, indeed. So I guess luckily the Netherlands is one of the few non-English countries that doesn't play their own language over the English. So that helps with, I think that's part of the reason I think why Dutch people in general have good English.
I feel so guilty now, because now I put all of this on you, and like usually I'm the one who is listening and everybody's putting everything on me, and now I put all of this on you and I feel very bad.
Yeah, but maybe it's good for a change to not have to feel like you're the one always helping and supporting others, to be on the other side of the coaching chair.
When I went to the psychologist, like, it was sometimes I said to him like, I can only do this job because I come here because like I need to. And now I'm not working enough to afford that. So, So how did you, like, why did you start doing this?
Yeah, so I work like as an academic advisor at the university.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, I'm not a psychologist or anything like that. I'm not a therapist. But basically, we just meet with students to kind of help with their study planning and things like that. And I guess similar as you find in your language sessions, you know, a student might come for a planning of the courses, but then sometimes they start talking about missing home or struggling to find a room or feeling sad or finding it difficult to make friends. Yeah, and I, even though I don't really have any background to where I can feel like I can really help someone, you know, just sometimes having a chat and just listening to someone can be helpful in some cases. So I wanted to try, yeah, create something where people can call in and just, yeah, similar as I do in my day job, just have a chat about life. So I hope that it was somewhat helpful for you to share a little bit about things, decisions you're thinking about, and how your life's been going so far.
Yeah, thank you. I will not keep you for longer because I know that the time is up and everything.
Yeah, no worries. Because I'm curious, right? Because I also thought about like going to study to become a psychologist. I'm not sure how that is in Hungary, but basically in the Netherlands, since my bachelor had nothing to do with psychology, that would mean like me going to school for like 8 years or something crazy. So that feels like a bit too big of a step for me. But
It's 5 years, like 3 years bachelor's, two years master's. And of course, like you can get some specialized or like other trainings for more years. But I think with 5 years, you can already start having clients, as far as I know. I think even with 3 years, but then you cannot, like you can only call it like a helping helping conversation.
Okay.
If I mirror translate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure here, but I think a lot of, like, I think the title psychologist, at least in the Netherlands, is not protected. So I think everyone could call, in theory, could call themselves a psychologist, I think.
No, I think here you can call yourself a coach.
Okay.
But you cannot call yourself a psychologist.
But I think after the master, it's very common to do kind of like a special 3-year program where you work in a healthcare sector and do a lot of internships and things like that to kind of prepare yourself to become a really professional psychologist. So it seems a bit, maybe a bit too long for my liking.
Yeah, I mean, I used to like to go to university a lot in the bachelor's, but after that I started working, and then when I was in master's, I already so that's my fear in connection with going back, that I have a very positive feeling about universities or like studying in general, because it's a clear line, like I read it and then I pass. Like I achieve. It's not like dating. I go on 100 days, no boyfriend. I go on 200 days, no boyfriend.
Yeah, the reward is a lot quicker.
And more objective, or like more, you know, I feel like I can control it. But so when I went to master's, I already had some life experience and I was not so gullible to what the teachers were saying, or like I saw the lack of knowledge or lack of experience. So that's my fear, that if I go back for psychology, maybe it will not be the same as in my bachelor's. Maybe it will be, because I am different. Like when I was in bachelor's, I didn't know anything about life and work and you know, anything. So So maybe I was more compliant. Like whatever they said, I did.
Yeah.
Because I didn't question it. Like, oh, why are we learning this? Why with this method? Or something. Because I was just like, okay, this is cool. And these are the requirements. And I will do it.
Yeah.
But in master's, I was asking. And I was more shy to ask anything. And in master's, I was asking questions. It was another university, so maybe the teachers were different because they were more theoretical. They were better at writing studies than about the actual work that we are going to do after the master's. And so maybe the teachers were different, I'm not sure, but whenever I asked something, they answered, but they didn't answer it. Like they gave me some answer in like 10 minutes long, very nicely formulated answer, but they didn't give me the actual information. And my dilemma is that maybe they knew the answer, but they didn't want to give it to me because, you know, like they want to protect their power or something, because we are competing with each other, basically. The second is that they really didn't know the answer. I don't know which one is worse, but
yeah, I know that's I don't know. It's like sometimes we have students at the university indeed who've been working for a long time, and I think sometimes that can help because they're really motivated and they really chose a specific field to learn about. So often in that sense they do better than a student. On the other hand, you know, students often don't realize just the insane amount of time they have available. So if you need to work alongside of that, or you know, people that have a family, it's like a lot of strain on the time that they have available. So yeah, it's can be a difficult decision. Yeah, I have to say, I was really, I really enjoyed chatting with you, Eva, and I hope you can find more of the balance that that we discussed.
Yeah, and I see this. Do you call it a channel or whatever?
Whatever you want, the channel.
I see the potential in this channel. Like I see this. Like I was so surprised that it has it's small. So I think it will grow very big if you post consistently. So
yeah, thank you. That's very nice of you. Yeah, and wish you a lot of fun on the two dates tonight.
Thank you.
I hope you find someone nice to be with long term.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.